The role of the judicial branch in our system of government differs markedly from that of the executive branch. Each shoulders substantial powers and obligations under the Constitution. Whereas the executive enforces the law, however, the Supreme Court interprets the law and has no power to command obedience or appropriate funds to enforce its orders. Whereas the president is elected by the people and serves for limited terms, federal judges are appointed by the president with the advice and consent of the Senate and serve for life. Whereas the executive reflects the political will of the majority, the judiciary is designed to check assertions of power by the political branches. It thus comes as little surprise that throughout history, the executive and the Supreme Court have intersected, overlapped, and even clashed. A story is told that William Howard Taft once found himself stranded at a small country railroad station. Informed that the express train would stop only for a large group of passengers, Taft wired the conductor, "Stop at Hicksville. Large party waiting to catch train." When the train stopped, Taft boarded alone. He then turned to the confused conductor. "You can go ahead," he declared. "I am the large party." We laugh at that story because we remember that Mr. Taft, at his heaviest, tipped the scales at over 300 pounds. But as the 27th President of the United States and the 10th Chief Justice of the United States, he also was the only person ever to have tipped the scales by holding both of those incredibly large offices, experiencing firsthand the responsibility of heading two of the most significant institutions in the free world. His time in those two roles put him on two different sides of the same constitutional coin. Indeed, our remarkable Constitution recognizes the individual largeness of these governmental bodies while acknowledging that their relative strengths will at times coexist, at times collide, and nearly always manage to carry out the will of the majority while safeguarding the rights of the minority. A look at the dynamic between these two institutions speaks volumes about the genius of our Constitution. To find an example of the judiciary and the presidency surviving the collision of two larger-than-life personalities, we need not travel very far into the early days of our republic. Second cousins, John Marshall and Thomas Jefferson, were anything but the kissing kind. Indeed, their relationship was privately nasty and publicly only slightly better. Their exchanges, well documented but not well mannered, planted the seeds for an all-out war over the proper role of the judiciary vis-a-vis the other branches of government. It set the trajectory of constitutional law as we know it today. Jefferson almost was not our third president, coming to the post only after the House of Representatives broke an electoral tie vote in his race with Aaron Burr. Marshall almost was not our fourth Chief Justice, receiving the nomination from John Adams only after his first choice, John Jay, declined reappointment. But once fate brought them to their respective positions of authority in 1801, Jefferson and Marshall came to blows in ways that put even today's climate of political acrimony to shame. Early in his administration, Jefferson attempted to have Marshall impeached. He accused him of irregular and censurable behavior. In Marshall's hands, Jefferson lamented, the law is nothing more than an ambiguous text to be explained by his sophistry into any meaning which may subserve his personal malice. He spoke vehemently of his bitter disappointment in his own appointees to the Supreme Court, calling them lazy and weak for not standing up to the crafty chief judge. Marshall, in turn, label Jefferson totally unfit for the presidency. Jefferson called the Chief Justice a man of lax lounging manners and a profound hypocrisy. Over time, these two actors played out a rather hateful drama rooted in personal animus and fundamental disagreement as to the proper role of government and the appropriate balance between the judicial and executive branches.